Weight loss solutions are not one-size-fits-all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert-guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits started just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
All right, here we go again. Welcome back to the Addicted Motors podcast. I'm Troy with Addicted Motors. This is Mike with Sports Car Workshop, and we're coming back with our weekly, well, almost weekly podcast discussing cars, Land Rovers, and everything that we've been up to recently.
Bi-weekly.
Yeah, this is the second attempt at this podcast. We recorded last week, and then the audio went ahead and dumped it. It's that same feeling of writing a term paper and then it just saving.
That's what I told my teachers.
I've never been
corrupted.
There's like a different level of anger, I think, that comes from that type of thing. So we've got some topics to get into, but right off the bat, I'm going to hit Mike with something he wasn't prepared for.
Not prepared for any of this.
You're not prepared for any of this, which is on our last podcast, we discussed cars that you want to own but can't for whatever reason. Oh. Either it's embarrassing, there's a stigma around it. It's a guilty pleasure car is basically what it was. And we named three, but he wasn't prepared and he's still not prepared. So hit me with three right off the bat.
I thought of one during the week and now I've forgotten what it was. But I'm going to say Fiat 500 Abarth.
Okay.
They're fun.
That's good.
They're zippy.
I just don't
really necessarily want to be seeing one.
If I had a commute to work and I didn't have to bring any children, like just I had to go to the office every day, I think that would suit that use case. It would make sense. And they just blow up and they're like $5,000 these days. So that's not a bad one. What else?
Man, yeah, three. Extra homework here. Man, I wish I could remember what I said last time.
I know. This is a bit painful.
You do yours. Let me think.
All right. I had three. I can't remember what my first ones were. You can go back and check that from the last episode. But the first one was the Gen 2, I think, Honda Prelude. The two-door, five-speed, let's call it like a 97, 98. What did those end in, like 2000 or 2001 with the kind of square low-set headlights? I think those were like in that category of like it looked good. They drove okay, but it was front-wheel drive, so I never considered it worth a shit because it was front-wheel drive. I don't know if Gran Turismo 1 or 2 had that as a hero car or a car you could drive. You know, it's in Fast and Furious, but it was never part of the storyline. They were just in the background type deal.
I got another one. Speaking of Fast and Furious.
Uh-oh.
Dodge Neon SRT4.
Dodge Neon.
That might have been last week.
I don't know.
Yeah,
you brought that one up last week. Yeah, but they've kind of become like mainstream because that's like almost like vintage spec racing.
I don't know about the SRT4. That's pretty hot boy.
That's hot boy.
That's hot boy.
The SCR ones or SR.
ACR.
Yeah, the Neon SCR. They had a little time in the sun in the beginning of COVID. On the unappreciated Survivor.
Man, I haven't looked into one of those since they were in like Grassroots Motorsports.
I mean, actually,
in like 2008.
It will be cool, a white one with the blue accents and the blue seats or whatever.
I was all about the black one.
The black one, yeah.
I was a black car guy in high school for sure.
That's rusting behind Rudy's parents' barn somewhere in, Powhatan somewhere where they all ended up dying. And the last one was, it wasn't a Quattroporte. It was, I don't know, second to last, Dodge Durango.
Oh yeah, you ripped off my Trackhawk.
I ripped off the Trackhawk of the Dodge Durango. They still make them. They still make them in the SRT. And I think even the Hellcat, I think that's the last of that surviving group of naturally aspirated or supercharged V8s that they didn't kill off if they went to the twin turbo, inline six, which is now going back to the V8s thanks to Dodge's new mix-up. So Yeah, I don't know, man. I think Durango looks good. It's a 4-3 row super SUV thing that, you know, they get stolen every 30 seconds, but I feel like I would have one in the driveway if it wouldn't get stolen out of the driveway pretty much immediately. That falls in that same category as like a Audi SQ7. You know, you can do all the things, have a third row, big V8, nice and smooth, decent tech. It'll look pretty good. And I would rock that. I would, I think. I don't know. I don't think my wife would hate it, but it's fine. And the bi-turbo, Maserati bi-turbo. I know it's a cliche. Yeah.
Here we go
I know,
again.
But everyone, it hasn't hit the rounds recently, so.
You're telling me you'd be embarrassed to be seen in a bi-turbo.
No, I didn't want
to
be embarrassed. It's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, there's nothing
good.
Guilty about that.
You just can't drive them. I think I made like the argument, there's a guy that during COVID, he bought one. He was going to be Mr. Bi-turbo guy, like driving to Radwood, made an Instagram, blah, blah, blah. Didn't make it. He replaced everything, put 20 grand into it, and it still failed him, which makes the story better. If it made it, it would kind of dethrone the idea that it's the worst car, and it lived right up to it. So that's my three. You said you came up with two more.
I'm just going to, well, I've got the second one already. My third one, I don't know. I'm just going to pivot off of the bi-turbo Chrysler TC by Maserati. The seats are too not.
They don't even look good, though. There was one
the
in
seats.
Cap.
Yeah, yeah, you're just
what
sitting
color,
in a lazy
though?
Boy.
This matters.
Oh,
like
you
got to
go pale yellow.
Yeah,
just
it was
lean,
a pale yellow.
Lean into it, you know?
It was pale yellow. It looked perfect at a hard top.
I remember maybe, I don't know, 10 years ago at the old shop, I had a row of three Maseratis with a combined value of like $6,000.
There was no TCs in there. Was there a TC in there?
Two of them were TCs, and one of them was the like a spider. At the time, was absolutely worthless.
Well, they're still $10,000 cars. But
yeah.
I
well,
think
you know, in 2017, not so much.
Yeah, they're recently out of warranty. All right, I need one more.
I got three.
You got three.
Right, Fiat 500 A-bars, Dodge Neon SRT4,
okay,
Chrysler
two Italians.
TC by Maserati.
Three Italians. Wow, two. That's that.
What do you call
that
the Dodge,
TC,
the Dodge Neon
that TC
Italian?
Is like a Plymouth. That is like some Stellantis or whatever they were before. Some
that was way before
Lee Iacocca.
Yeah,
you,
that was
like,
just
like
that was just good old. That was just good old Chrysler back then.
All right. Well, that was a surprise topic. All right, let's go into events. So. We're doing croissants and coffee at Can this weekend, 7 a.m.
You're not even going to put a little stank on that croissants? No French
croissants.
Accent? Is that your French accent?
Croissant? No. You seem...
Croissants.
What? You made me drop my croissant. What was that Vine?
Dude, I have no idea what you're talking about.
We're going back to Vines here, yeah. What is it? You made me drop my croissant. That was in the early days of 2009 or 2010. So cars and croissants, other big events coming up, MAR, Mid-Atlantic Rally, 50th anniversary of Rove, tickets are on sale, we have tickets, we're sponsors, we're going to be there, everyone we know is going to be there, 1,000 acres on the Little George Hunt Club out in Buckingham County, Virginia, lots of awesome sponsors, it starts, I think it's Wednesday or Thursday through Sunday.
I think the driving starts Thursday morning.
Driving starts Thursday morning.
Maybe you're allowed Wednesday night?
I'll link my video that kind of gives you a run through of what the venue and everything looks like. There's going to be trail rides, it's all unguided, so you can choose your own adventure. There's multiple geographical levels, if you want to call it. There's multiple camping spots. There is side events going on. There's cool vendors. Everyone in the Land Rover community, even from the international community, the training community is going to be there for this Rove 50th on this MAR event. It's going to be a good time. So I'll link all that stuff in the bottom so you guys can participate if you want. All right, shop updates. I don't know what's changed. What's changed in the shop since last week or the past 2 weeks as far as, say, issues, parts issues, or interesting cars that have come in. You've got a pretty eclectic lineup out there right now with older stuff.
Yeah, pretty
comes in waves.
Pretty Radwood out there right now.
Not Radwood. You've got like the.
Well, I've got a bunch of air cooled.
Mark II Jag.
Yeah. That just got pulled in. Oh yeah, that Volvo's pretty wild.
The Volvo. I don't even know. That's like a not even like.
It's surprisingly clean. I guess the guy.
What year? That's like a 62.
Something like that, yeah.
That's like two-stroke, right?
No, it's a regular four-stroke.
Sure? It's
You're thinking about Saabs.
Saabs, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's been sitting under a tree for a while, it looks like, but it's actually shockingly nice.
Not I think we're super doing rusty? Like,
it's one of those great scenarios where we're actually just mostly doing preventative maintenance instead of playing catch up.
It's the Volvo that looks like a Saab. It looks old. I mean, I don't even.
Yeah, actually, I don't remember what the model
is. I don't
even
remember what the model is. Yeah, it's white. It's super old. Alex, it doesn't look Alex like a Volvo.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I like the color on that Jag. That's pretty cool.
New motor mounts and stuff for the transformer swapped, unswapped, reswapped 930 turbo.
That's so hard to explain. a lot of fabrication into making a G50 fit in that car.
So the car showed up. It was an X movie car. It's an SC. It had
nine
spacers like that were this for each of the to fill out the
like a
turbo.
real 8-inch spacer, not what you tell your wife is 8-inch.
Yeah, no, like this,
like a legitimate 8.
Where we go? Where do I want to stop?
Like eight inches.
8 inches right there. So those are the spacers to help those tires fill the rear arches of the knockoff 930. And they are now converting it to with rear 930 control arms, fabricated rear control arm mounts. I mean, so the engine was a 930 engine or a turbo SC engine, 3.2 or 4. And now they're making the suspension and everything match that, which is not easy to do because that doesn't exist.
No, because why would you ever do this?
It's ridiculous. That engine's in and out, and wheels got everything fabbed up, and it's just a really wild thing. And that's not something your average shop goes, yeah, I'll take that on. So interesting car, interesting build. I'd love to try to check it out when it's done. But it is a real movie car, so I guess there's a bit of the appeal there. All right, that was motor swaps, rebuild, sales update. So a lot of sales this week. The auctions have been interesting. We'll go to the auction picks a little later, but man, this week and last week we did a few cars. We did the 13 sight unseen Land Rover dealer trade-in sport, so an L320 5-liter non-supercharged sport. Sold that to a buddy of ours. One owner, 109,000 miles,
clean,
$6,600. It passed state inspection. He's gonna go.
I mean, that's probably
wrangle the check engine light.
$9,000 truck without even looking at it.
Yeah, so he got lucky there. He won
Rover Roulette.
That was Rover Roulette personified. Of course, it's gonna need little stuff, but didn't need timing change. It passed inspection and anything. You can drive it home and it's okay. It's not gonna blow up immediately. So that was a decent one. We've got a 2014 E350 wagon on the way, so we'll see how that shows up. Two owner, low miles. Again, it was sub 20 grand for a sweet Mercedes wagon with all the options and whatnot, so I think that one should be a decent one. And a Toyota Tundra, which is a wild spec. It was like an 08 or 09 base spec, like roll-up windows, no carpet, short bed, Toyota 4-liter V6. So the V6. No, oh, wonderful. I don't want to buy a building. That's not even part of the update, but we'll hang on.
That next week.
That's going to be a next week thing. Someone's trying to spend all our money. Oh, man. I wanted a race car. But the Tundra needed a little bit more work than was anticipated, but wasn't as is auction sale. And any Toyota that's not completely rusted out for under 10 grand is a deal. You can't find them. Everything else has absolutely no frame. 250,000 miles, they won 10 grand for it. So this was like $6,600. It's got 118,000 miles. It'll make a great work truck. But, you know, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. I wouldn't even call this a loss. It's just, it's not, you know, it's going to need a little bit more than
the stolen, but I think he's still a little bit ahead of the game.
Yeah.
It's a cool truck. I mean,
it is a cool truck.
It's pretty wild seeing a worker spec.
Yeah, AC works. That's really
tradesman.
That's really all you need. What else? There's something else.
Green L405.
Green L405. So the green L405 we bought for Joe at Lost Cause Ranch showed up at his house. It was 13 or 13.5. It was a 16 with 99,000 miles, supercharged L405. He started up and has hooked it up and he's already towing with it. Like, it was red light as is. That's about as scary as you get. A 15 supercharged, you could have change, you have supercharger issues, you could have suspension issues, you could have brake issues, you have all the things that absolutely total that truck out. And any other person I wouldn't have bought that truck for, but he's like, yeah, I'll deal with the consequences. So he's dealing with the success of the consequences for now. It'll probably blow up, but you know, as of now, he is sending it, which is pretty awesome. So yes, you can get a supercharged L405 green, great spec for under 15 grand, and that's a success story. So that's kind of the sales thing.
I feel like we're still missing one.
I feel like we're missing one too. There's been a few.
Let's see here.
I know we bid on a couple that we didn't get. There's a couple. There's a one owner L322 and 08 that went for too much money just because shipping was like $2,000 from Washington State.
Yeah, I think that was it because the other one would have been before the 4th of July.
Yeah.
That's a lot for a week.
That's a lot. All right. So, again, next topic, anything you guys are looking for, drop in the comments or shoot me an email and we'll look at and discuss certain cars or markets or repairs or anything you guys want to talk about. We'll take those in the comments. YouTube update.
Oh, wait. Just got to shout out the auction chat.
We'll do auction here in a little bit. But yeah, auction chat's on my Instagram. Just shoot me a message. I'll add you to it. You two can play Rover or any roulette. Just let me know what you're looking for, and we'll try to source it because basically I look at Carvana and anything interesting that's an honest trade-in from the Carvana side of things, we can help broker for you.
The blue one or the bin pack?
Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, but I don't have the time anymore to go out and search for cars physically, so I like to just hit the button and have it show up and see what happens. YouTube update, the Rove Mar video has been dropped about me just showing you what that event looks like if you're in the Rover space. And then auction update. Okay, I'll go through. Pull up the app.
What are we doing?
Auctions are getting, they're not as cheap as they once were. There was a little lull and now it's back. And people are bidding, going kind of crazy for lower mileage one owner stuff from the 2000s. It's kind of going through the roof. I'm watching L322s continue to climb at the wholesale $5,000 to $10,000 range. I keep thinking I can get them for cheaper and I can't. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. I watched a 08 ED350 Mercedes wagon, two owner in New Jersey, green light, that sold for $8,000 or so. That means that's their markup's gonna be on that. Like, listed for 14 or 12, that's assuming it doesn't have any issues, you know? So someone's taking a gamble on these cars and they're hoping it's gonna be okay. What else have I seen? Oh, 2004 Maserati Coupe GT. This is $10,000, 60,000 miles on it. It's green light. It's a green light Maserati listed as a manual, but it is an automatic. There is a one owner 2006 LR3. Who's selling this? Advanced Remarketing's low grade. Is it as is? It is as is, but it's one owner. It should be cheap. It's just an 06 LR3. You know, that's the kind of thing that I probably would suggest rolling the dice on if need be. What do you got? Yeah, that's like $16,000.
I'm just waiting for them to give up on it.
That's like an Instagram.
It runs
build.
Once a week. I'm willing to buy it for $3,000. So
yeah,
just waiting my time.
this one's good. 2007 L322 supercharged SC. Yes, it's got a hideous bumper on it. But it's rust free. It's like three owners. It doesn't list any major condition issues. No check engine light. That's a good looking truck. I think I can get it for like $5,700 before shipping in California. 88,000 miles. You're in .2 L322 at a decent price. So, you know, it comes and goes. I think that's it that's interesting. And not a whole lot of super interesting stuff. Oh, yeah, and this is this is listed at $23,000. It's a P38 with 180,000 miles. So I want to get into that game or do whatever drugs that he's doing because I think that would be a good time. All right, Rover's update. This week I rescued my abandoned D1 that I left at the cabin for 2 years, drove back yesterday. It was like 100 degrees. I was trying to run the AC going up after the mountain. I started, my temp started spiking and going down. I could literally, if I turn the AC on, the temp would go up, turn it off, go right back down. So I'm not too worried about that. The truck has 140,000 miles on it. It's going up a hill with AC in 100 degree heat. That'll happen. So it was a good, I've sweat through this shirt a couple times already. It was a good Windows day. But I drove the Classic up there previously, and that did okay because I don't know what temperature it's running at because the gauge doesn't work. So
ignorance is bad. Bliss.
Ignorance is bliss.
Until it's not.
What are the Rovers? Oh, the red Classic. Haven't made too much progress. We found some valves in the 3.5 that were stuck open. We can move them, but they don't move freely yet, which probably is where our compression was going.
Definitely where the compression was going.
We're very close to potentially giving up on that and parting it out because that's the smart thing to do, but I would like to make it run.
A few problems because it should still run on one bad cylinder.
Could run on one. And we also forgot there was a hole in the tank, so the gas drained out, so that was probably... a bit of why we weren't getting a lot of the ignition or the lack of fuel, I think, that we were seeing. So, yeah, that's one.
Unfortunately, it gets worked on a half hour a week during shop years, so progress is very slow.
All right, your week in cars.
My week in cars.
Personal and shop.
Well, 10 weeks tomorrow, so I've got about 9.5 weeks before I think about getting a Rover ready.
Or buying another one.
Or, you know, buying another one. Man, I don't know. My foot's been acting up, so I haven't really been doing much personal car stuff. Need to get this going. Shop, I mean, we kind of covered that, but all kinds of projects over there. A lot of air cooled.
Why don't you get one of those? That's a good rally car.
I would have.
I need to call what's his name about these cars. All right, so these cars are for sale. This Series 1 E-Type and this 930 Turbo are for sale. Make me an offer because we're tired of storing them. The owner is a South American gentleman. We stored them for 10 years. We don't want to look at them anymore. The 930 has engine issues. Head bolts are broken, but it does run and it starts. But it is a real 930. It's just sat here for many years. And the E-Type, it ran when it was parked.
Yeah, Series 1.
Series 1 E-Type. It's red.
Also, it's just been sitting indoors.
Just been sitting in here. So
cleans up nicely.
Make me an offer. I'm going to get realistic pricing from him in the next week or so because we want to give him a deadline to get it out. So he'll either pick them up or we'll sell them once prices are established. So whatever with that. All right, let's get into our topic from last week that we already covered, and we're going to cover it again.
Oh, good. Maybe I'll be prepared for this one.
Yeah. We're going to talk about the three things that you need to replace per Land Rover when you buy it right off the bat. And this is not something to look for when you're buying it. This is what you do immediately after with a certain budget. This is like the right way to do it instead of waiting for it to fail. That's another way to do it. It's also not a great way to do it. So that's what we're going to start with here. And I'm going to pause this. All right. So we did this last week, but you guys didn't hear it. So we're going to start from the beginning, and we're not going to do series trucks because I don't know that much about series trucks. They're not that fun to drive.
Whoa.
You're a Defender owner, so
that's
I can
basically a series with coil.
You're already talking down to it. So if you like series trucks in the comments, let us know. All right.
I like
Range Rover
trucks.
Classic 87 to 95. The three things that you need to replace right off the bat for that truck. Go.
I'm going with fuel pump.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time before it gives up back there, and even if it's pumping, it's just pumping itself back into the tank, and it's not a good time.
That's a good one, and I'll just pause you there, just because in the early ones, there's no access to the fuel pump, so you either have to drop the tank or remove the subfloor piece of corrugated metal, and you're not going to do that on the side of the highway, no. So if you have an earlier model
that's
and you
cheap.
Have space, do that first. Yeah. All right, number two.
Number two. I know I got a lot of pushback for this in the unrecorded session, but... driveline fluids. I don't want to be boxed into one fluid.
No, that was a good one. Yeah, I want to box you into one fluid, though. I like the one you picked last time.
What did I pick? Transfer case?
Transfer case.
You know, nobody checks it. It's just something that gets forgotten about. They get contaminated. They leak.
It'll be fine till it's not.
Yeah, it'll be fine till it's not. It can be a very quick failure, and again, you don't want your diff locking up at 70 miles an hour. Assuming you're going downhill with a breeze.
If you can go 70 miles an hour, maybe 3.5,
maybe 3.9,
might be able to achieve that speed.
And I can't remember if you let me get by with this one last time or not, but cooling hoses, just old rubber.
Yeah.
I just, I don't trust old rubber. I see it all the time.
We'll get into old rubber in a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's my three.
Okay. I think my list is similar but different. I'm going to do my favorites. Focus on the cooling. Thermostat, fan clutch, water pump. Just because even in my own trucks, I'm realizing that they all need a water pump. Even if it's not leaking or the weep hole's not leaking or if it's not actively wobbling itself off the pulley, the amount of heat that we've had recently makes these trucks, they're not undrivable, but very susceptible to overheating. And once you get into engine replacement above and beyond just the head gasket going, because they all already need head gaskets, then you're hitting an amount of money that will actually mechanically total the truck, unless you're crazy like us and you want to keep the thing going. So keeping that engine running healthy and not melting itself, because this is an aluminum block V8, I think is key. And if you do those in conjunction with what he said, you might be okay. All right, let's go to the next one in line. I guess we'll say D1. Very similar. Same is there truck. Anything else?
I probably wouldn't preventatively do a fuel pump on a D1 just because they're expensive. But
very expensive. More expensive than a classic.
Yeah. But it's basically the same truck. I mean, you know. Honestly, my list doesn't change that much for D2 either.
I think it does. I think D2.
Again, no fuel pump, but I'm still on board with cooling system, driveline fluids. I'm not going to say the third one because I know you want to say it.
Oh, okay. I'll do mine if we're going to do something different. Obviously, everything we've said with a classic, but sunroof drains.
Oh. It's not what I thought you were going to say.
Clean those out. Even if you don't replace them, those little pieces of plastic that connect to the thing, disconnect your sunroof. Don't use it. Don't open it. And when you're done with that,
no balls.
Get an air compressor and blow those puppies out. And even better, shoot some Clorox or something that you can spray in a bottle through those vents to confirm they're coming out from below the front tire. And in the rear, behind the rear tire, you'll see that kind of dripping and you'll know that those are functioning. Because if not, that water obviously gets in your headliner and down in your seats. And that's where the rust comes from.
And your headliner's definitely not already sagging. So your headliner's already sagging, so
you
want to
pull all that stuff anyway. What else for a D1? If it's a D1...
Oh, D1?
Yeah.
I thought we were on D2s.
No, we're on D1s.
Oh.
If it's a D1 and it's a GEMS engine, it's coil packs that are behind the block.
Oh, yeah.
I would do those because you don't want to do that on the side of the road. There's like 3-4 10 mil nuts that you have to do to get that out. And it's not impossible, but it's not something you want to do roadside. That would be annoying. And radiator flush the radiator because it's probably an original radiator. It's probably old. So obviously they're very similar to the engines and the configurations in the classic, but I'm coming out with new things. We're coming out with new things. So that is D1 classic. Go, Mike, D2.
I thought I did D2. Driveline fluids, thermostat upgrade, always a good one.
Right. Yep.
Cooling hoses.
Yep.
I'm a broken
I'll
record.
Give you cooling hoses because the D2 actually has the plastic tees in the cooling hoses that disintegrate over time.
Yeah. I don't think I would do coils preventatively, but you should probably be ready for them. The one that I thought you were going to say, XYZ.
XYZ switch?
Yeah.
Yeah, clean it, check it out, make sure it's functional. You know, that'll strand you in third gear on the highway, which is pretty annoying. It's just not something you want to have go wrong when you're 7 hours from home in your D2 because you took it with your wife because she thought it would be fun. You thought it was a good idea to take her on a 7-hour in your cool car. And you'll never do it again. Not coming from experience there. All right, what else? Anything else for...
If you have rear air, ditch it. I don't know.
Ditch it or don't use it?
Yeah, or don't use it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, obviously anything cooling with a D2 is crucial. Honestly, install an ultra gauge. Go on eBay, get an ultra gauge. It's not a factory part. Plug it in and you'll be like, oh my God, my truck's been overheating the whole time that I had it. It'll cause a lot of stress. It'll not be great, but you'll at least not melt your engine.
Ask Lucky 8 for the Troy special coming soon.
Ask Lucky 8 for the Troy special. We're putting together...
Excuse me, the Addicted Motors.
The Addicted Motors special. Yeah, we're putting together kits based off of these lists that you can purchase right after you get your car that encompass a lot of these high, not high dollar, but must-do items. But the D2 list, if I'm sticking to the script here, is water pump, thermostat, HD fan clutch. Comes in one or two models. The earlier ones had a two-piece, later ones had a one-piece. I would suggest converting your two-piece to a one-piece. You can use an older, like, GM one if you want. It's from, like, an S10 or something. But I just got a factory HD one, so it will be serviceable. And if you haven't knocked your fan clutch off, it's good to have the correct tooling and whatnot to be able to remove that. But cooling system if you don't have other major issues. All right, let's move up the generation. We're going to skip P38. Because I'm going to skip P38. Don't buy a P38. I think they're interesting. People started making money on them recently. A BCM, we talked about, put some BCMs in your pocket. Don't sink it. And I don't know, most P38s that I've encountered, they run fine, actually. It's just everything else that falls apart. But you can do a whole podcast on P38s.
Get locked out of your truck permanently.
Locked out of your truck forever.
Middle of a mud field in New York.
Right. But yeah, they're actually fairly solid from a mechanical standpoint. Because at 150,000 miles, usually they're sorted or have a new engine in it or in someone's backyard or already on coils, which is always nice. Yeah. But we're going to go to the next one into LR3.
LR3.
Justin's favorite. I mean, I like an LR. They're just not.
Just get an L322.
It's just too big. Yeah. I don't want to go wheel an LR3. It's like wheeling your mom's van. Yeah,
I might work in the big wide open West, but
yeah, well, he's in New York. We'll have that discussion one day.
Yeah. Preventatively,
first three things you do. This is easy.
Well, first of the things you're probably going to be doing, control arms, pretty much guaranteed to be bad. If they aren't, they will be in a month. Drive belts, people just don't do them a lot. I don't know, I feel like you get into that generation, you're just doing a little bit more of kind of normal
three things.
Stuff.
Pick three things.
I know. I don't like being put in a box.
I know. Replace the whole truck. Yeah.
Buy another one for parts. And then another one for when that one breaks.
I'll answer the question for you.
All right.
Lower control arms, they're all shot. Doesn't matter if you replaced them 20,000 miles ago, they're going to be done.
The air suspension. Forgot all about the air suspension.
You're not going to replace the air suspension. Yeah. That doesn't count. Lower control arms, transmission pan, filter, fluid.
Yeah, transpan.
Yeah. Again, those have no one ever changes that. Check the Carfax. Make sure that has been done. If not, do it. They're all over 100,000 miles. It probably has been done. That'll increase the longevity and of your transmission. And you can add a metal pan. The one that comes from factory is plastic and it's susceptible to bumps if you're taking it off-road. So lower control arms, transpan. And my suggestion was the two drive belts. There's two drive belts, front one and a rear one. Most people sometimes just do the front one. They don't notice there's a rear one. The mechanics cheaps out on it. And if that goes, a bunch of your other accessories and whatnots fail and you've got bigger issues and the truck overheats. You could throw a lot of other things in there. Sunroof drains. You don't want water getting into that truck. All electronics are in the sills and whatnot and water collects down there and just causes so many electrical issues. You can throw a battery in there, right? I mean, that battery probably fixes half of the electrical issues of these semi-modern trucks as well.
Not really an item, but a note of warning. Don't trust the coolant temp gauge at all.
Yes.
If you see it overheating, you are way too late.
Someone just messaged me about a D1 that I messaged like 3 weeks ago, and they just responded, are you interested? Any more picks?
Are we getting a live lowball viewing?
I mean... It's a red. I'll show you guys.
The 5-speed?
No, it's got a dent on the side, but
chill truck.
Excellent condition except for driver passenger scratch. New replaced Land Rover engine over 4K in parts, plus roof plaque, plus ranch bumper, plus headliner, plus winch, which I don't see. No rust. Looking to trade for 18-foot trailer.
Oh.
I don't. But he doesn't see the roof rack or the bumper or anything. Jesus is Lord. That's a good sign. Then we can pray our way into a disco. I'm sorry, keep going. That was distracting. Might be a 5-speed. It's a 95.
I don't think plus. I was saying anything.
Oh.
Keep going on what?
I don't know.
It just, I don't know. For some reason, it just looks like a 5-speed to me.
It does look like a 5-speed.
I don't know what I'm basing that on.
Well, it's got cloth seats. It's a 95, like a so it could be a 5-speed. So. Yeah. In Pulaski, Virginia. Man. I'm not sure where that is.
That's like southwest, I think.
70,000 miles.
I think that's like far, if probably. I remember correctly.
Yeah, I see water.
Oh, look,
so
there's
that's
a
not,
map.
Well,
could just click the map.
Open the maps.
They're just going to watch us looking at Marketplace ads.
Yeah.
You guys, behind
yeah,
the behind
yeah,
the
get
scenes.
Get out of here.
Look.
This is what we're doing.
Yeah,
I'm going to release this 2 weeks from now. Below Blacksburg.
Oh, yeah, there's Blacksburg. Yeah.
That's a whole weekend. Well, it's okay. Maybe. Judging by response time, it's not that great. All right, LR3 is done. L322, next on the table.
Same thing.
Easy question. Same thing.
Same thing.
Yeah.
L405, same thing.
If you, again, this is if you buy one that is, doesn't have a check engine light and it seems okay from a dealer or something that, like, it's not rusted out, it just needs a little sprucing up. This isn't, like, the comprehensive guide to how to fix it. It's just like, hey, I inherited this from my parents or someone. They've been driving it for a while. What do I do to kind of bring it to the next level to kind of keep it going and make sure it doesn't blow up? That's the kind of list, I guess, that this is. I guess we could keep going. What else? What other? There's not really a whole lot of other interesting trucks, I guess.
I mean, I feel like an L405. I mean, the list just kind of stays pretty similar.
It stays very similar, especially with the L405. You got coolant crossover pipes. Transpan lower control arms.
L320, kind of the same thing.
Same thing, yeah. I just made that video.
Different
today.
Variations of the same basic
more
four
maybe
things.
Electrical gremlins. They're not old enough yet to have like real suspension issues, but it's coming. You know, those bags are, you got 10-year-old bags, they're saggy bags. They're
well, on
L405s.
Well, you get the leaky shocks.
Leaky shocks. You guys already done
timing
chains.
I just had to
do
them on my wife's car.
Does that have like real. Like, my 405 has air shock, but also has real shocks in the back, too. Does 405 have that?
I don't think so.
I don't know. No. That's the one thing that no one ever replaces. The actual shocks on an L322 in the back. I replace those. They're very easy, actually, to do. I mean, we didn't go into, like, a Defender because it's the same as a Disco. So it's not really worth talking
about.
Oh, wow,
yeah, we just completely skipped Defenders.
Yeah, we're not really Defender guys, so.
Don't drag me down to your level.
bulk, I mean, replace the bulkhead, replace the frame, right? I mean,
yeah,
it's
the same. I mean, honestly, I don't know. The 200 TDI, it's like four things that can break on it.
Somebody wants Peter's Jag. Anybody want an 04 British Racing Green XJR with 120,000 miles with a bunch of recent service, $8,000.
Almost zero burnouts.
Pictures. This guy wants to know where I'm at. I'm in Richmond, son.
Shoo.
It's not even my car, but I want to get people into interesting junk that might strand them or look good, one way or the other. So I guess I'll have to talk to this guy. All right, so yeah, that covers the generation of things that I think we get asked the most. That's the list. Let's see if I have anything else for today. DFL. You know what DFL stands for?
DFL?
DFL.
Can I have any context?
Nope. Racing.
Racing?
Yeah. That's why I should have named this podcast.
Downforce Limited.
Nope. Dead fucking last.
Oh.
you know, that's fine. So yeah, those that's the list of the three things you should do to semi-modern Land Rovers that are in the kind of trail community. There shouldn't surprise anyone here, but as more people kind of get into the Land Rover world, they start asking these questions, and to us they're like known truths. But again, if you're the guy that's asking the equivalent of what size tire fits my truck question on the forum, I think this kind of answers those questions. And I think that's it. I think we've covered a bunch of stuff today. Well, again, thank you for listening or watching. Hopefully this audio sticks so I don't have to record it again. And we'll catch you on the next episode. Have a good one.
Come to Mar.
Come to Mar.
Bye.
Yeah.
Love you.
I love you.
Make good choices.
Don't make good choices.